Blog Talk Radio.
Small businesses in their communities.
A minimum wage increase will stimulate consumer demand and help drive economic growth for the people who most need it, workers.
So that's what we're hoping for, and that would be nice, that everybody on minimum,
Yeah, I mean, why should you be working full-time and live in poverty?
No, it's a sad situation. I mean,
but that's what a lot of Republicans want.
Sure.
There's plenty of money when it comes to fighting
some stupid war, or
plenty of money when you have to bail out a rich company.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no money for Medicare, Social Security, or for the minimum wage, in their opinion.
Nope. Strike 3, New Hampshire House calls right to work out. It is no charming third time for former New Hampshire House Speaker William O'Brien, Republican, as the State House of Representatives decisively defeats 2012-141, a right to work for less bill, sponsored by O'Brien, who no longer holds the Speaker's post. New Hampshire's AFL-CIO President Mark McKenzie called today's vote a strong rebuttal of ex-Speaker O'Brien's attack on the middle class. O'Brien has championed the anti-workers measure in the past two sessions, only to see it die both times.
Good.
And so it won. You know, that's great news. There's a little more to this article. I'll just read it here. And McKenzie says, after 2 years of O'Brien's extreme agenda, our elected representatives made it clear that they had no appetite for bills that will lower wages and erode the middle class. When the bill went down to defeat, union members and leaders, including firefighters President Harold Schatzberger, in the back gallery stood and loudly applauded, said Schatzberger. I want to congratulate New Hampshire lawmakers today for listening to the people, defending the rights of all the state employees. These so-called right-to-work bills are cropping up in legislatures all over the country, but the name hides the truth because they are designed to take away the rights of workers, not protect them.
Yeah.
So did you want to read this part?
During the debate leading up to the vote, Representative Douglas Lay warned his colleagues, don't believe outsized promises of benefits of so-called right to work. If we want to protect the lives and working conditions of people in New Hampshire, we must vote against right to work. Pushed by extremists and corporate-backed groups like the American Legislative Exchange Council, Right to Work for Less legislation is under consideration in more than a dozen state legislatures, says McKenzie. At a time when the so-called Right to Work bills are being pushed in the state legislature across our nation, the vote is a strong reminder that Right to Work is part of a national right-wing agenda and is not right for New Hampshire against Right to Work for Less.
There you go, folks. So I heard it here. Yeah, let's go to the next one here. And here we come.
Working families protest Patriot Coal's new bonus plan. Patriot Coal filed a motion in the bankruptcy court of the Eastern District of Missouri to be allowed to pay $6 million to 120 executives, company managers,
senior
executives, and office personnel. The company's top executives receive no bonuses in the plan, but the bonuses are being condemned by working families and retirees. The company is attempting to deny health care coverage. Oh, boy. Mine Workers International President Cecil E. Roberts said via the press release, This is nothing more than a finger in the eye of those retirees and widows, as well as the active workers who are looking at the destruction of decades of collective bargaining improvements. These workers put their health on the line, put their lives on the line every single day to produce coal. The UMWA has previously charged that parent company Peabody Energy and Arch Coal spun off retiree costs to Patriot so that they could avoid paying those costs and increase their profits. Patriot recently filed for bankruptcy and is seeking to avoid paying the health care benefits that retirees, most of whom work for Peabody and Arch, earned. Robert said the money is going to the wrong people. It is not their fault Patriot is in bankruptcy, for Patriot is now to take millions of dollars that would help to keep people alive and pass it around to already well-paid executives and managers is just wrong and sends a terrible message to the active and retired workers who still depend on Patriot for their lives and livelihoods. On Wednesday, 1,000 active and retired coal miners and their families marched on Peabody Energy headquarters in St. Louis to demand that Peabody, Arch Coal, and Patriot Coal meet their obligations to retired workers. The rally included working families who traveled from Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia. Roberts talked about the bigger story. Peabody and Arch executives are shifting around like sand on a beach, trying to evade their obligations to the workers who made the company wealthy. But UMWA members are solid as the rock we mine for a living. We will not rest until we win justice for the workers who were promised health care benefits in exchange for a lifetime of hazardous work. The rally in St. Louis was live-streamed and blogged at Fairness at Patriot Now. Boy, those people were promised health care.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're going to take it away from them?
Sounds like it.
Companies suck.
I was just going to go to...
The way they treat people is unconscionable.
Let's see if they... I thought it might be interesting if they had it on blog, but they don't.
No.
Well, I can't bring it up anymore. So let's go to the next one.
Lots of things happening in the union world.
Oh, boy. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Come on, page. Come down.
Don't
go White House in action on silica is deadly for workers. No, I thought I should read this because,
okay. Tom Ward was 13 when his father came home from what would be his last day of work. Ward's father barely made it through the door, fell to the floor, and between tears said, "I can't do it anymore." Later that year, at age 39, Ward's father suffocated to death, the effect of silicosis. His work as a sandblaster had exposed him to cancer-causing silica dust. Every year, silica dust takes hundreds of American lives and makes thousands more, mostly construction workers, sick. But it doesn't have to be that way. 2 years ago, tomorrow, February 14th, the Federal Occupation Safety and Health Administration submitted a draft proposed rule to reduce exposure to life-threatening silica dust to the White House's Office of Management and Budget. The review was supposed to take 90 days, but 2 years later, the draft rule is still there, languishing in regulatory limbo while workers continue to be exposed to the deadly dust.
This is an excerpt from the White House in action on silica and deadly for workers by CIA. Hang on 1 second. Let's see if that comes up.
Well, I was working in a garden last summer, and I told you they were construction workers blasting granite and stuff, sandblasting it.
Where?
At this house that I was working at. They weren't wearing masks.
Yeah, they never do.
And I just...
All
I could think of is all that dust. They were breathing it all, and they were going to have problems later on in their lives.
Sure. It's just like asbestosis.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, silica dust takes hundreds of American lives and makes thousands more.
I've already read that. For decades, working people and their unions start there.
For decades, working people and their unions have fought to make jobs safer, and we've made great progress winning job safety standards that have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. But at every step towards progress, we face the same obstacles that are blocking stronger silica dust limits, well-funded knee-jerk opposition by business trade groups and industry associations. Even when we get laws and regulations on the books, the unscrupulous employers cut corners and violate them. Workers who report job hazards or injuries are fired or disciplined. And employers contract out and dangerous work to avoid responsibility. As a result, every single day of every year, 13 workers are killed on their job. And every year, workers suffer 7.6 million to 11.4 million job injuries and illnesses. Can you believe that?
No. I've seen how hard it is to take on the heavyweight corporate lobbyists who hold so much sway in Washington. But I've also seen what a worker's struggle for breath looks like. You see, I come from three generations of coal mining family in a coal mining town. We know what work can do to a person's lungs. The delay in job safety protections for silica is inexcusable and heartless. It's time for industry opponents to stand down and time for the White House to stand up for working men and women. It's a matter of life and death.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Three
three reasons even right-wing Republicans should like unions. Let's see if this convinces the right-wing people out there.
I don't know, but it's worth reading.
This is by David Cohen.
There you go. Want a reason to support unions? A union may help keep you alive.
Your chances of surviving a hospital stay after a myocardial infraction, also known as a heart attack, are higher if your nurses are in a union than if they're not. That's the conclusion of a study by academics at the University of Mass and the University of California. It's also part of a much larger picture that the media ignore that might give even right-wing Republicans a reason to support unions, and that makes the last U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics evidence of dwindling union presence bad news for all of us. Number one, a majority of the people who belong to unions hold professional or technical jobs, and their union membership protects the people they serve. Registered nurses are not only one group that has organized unions. Others include, but are not limited to, professors, scientists, judges, professional athletes, teachers, engineers, scientists, screenwriters, newscasters, broadcast technicians, stagehands, actors, musicians, and recording artists. As of 2010, a majority, more than 54% of the people in unions were in a professional or technical field.
Professionals and technical people consistently rank an ability to do their jobs right as a top workplace priority, and unions ensure they can. Professional and technical people invest their energy, time, and money to develop their expertise and skills. They bring to their work their professional ethics, their professional standards, and often professional codes and licenses. Decades of attitudinal research show that professionals consistently choose an ability to do their work right as a top priority that often ranks above pay and benefit. This is an excerpt from Three Reasons Human Rights People Should Like Unions from Alternate.
By David Cohen.
Department of Professional Employees. You can read the rest. Do you want us to go to the rest?
Let's go to Alternate. We have about 7 minutes.
Let's see
what this is. A little slow in coming up, folks. We just have to wait. Very slow.
Oh,
there it is.
There we go.
Go down to the third reason. Unions provide a way for professional and technical people to shield and strengthen their professional integrity. According to a recent study by the Ethics Resource Center, the likelihood that an employee will oppose wrongdoing at work rises dramatically with the presence of a union. Funding the center comes not from unions, but from major corporations with employees who do not belong to unions. That makes its conclusion all the more striking.
It's not hard to understand the difference between a union workplace and one where employees lack union protections. The general rule is that an employer can fire an employee for any reason or no reason, unless a law specifies otherwise. It's called at-will employment, and almost all unions negotiate for a different rule. It requires just cause, a good reason to discipline or fire an employee. Unions also seek from employers a procedure that brings in a neutral third party to decide whether just cause existed, and as a result, a safety buffer that allows employees to honor their personal ethics and professional standards.
Professional integrity serves all of us, which is why even right-wing Republicans should support unions. To provide safe medications and medical devices, reliable weight-bearing bridges and airborne aircraft, professional and technical people need protection against interference. They need the latitude to do their jobs right. Unions provide the latitude that enables professional and technical people to exercise their best judgment in the interests of the rest of us. Forget the lazy, outdated, and pernicious cliches about unions. It's a new workforce, and a majority of the people in unions hold jobs that didn't exist when unions began. Unions today offer highly educated, highly skilled professional and technical people a way to function at their highest level of expertise. That benefits all of us. Even Scott Walker in Wisconsin or Nikki Haley in South Carolina might like an extra edge when the issue is a life or death. I can speak to that. You know, I'm a professional person, and I joined a union, so I didn't have to negotiate every year with my employer. I can do it every 3 years. And when you negotiate every year, it takes away from your work. You're not thinking, you know, you're worried about your job, you're worried about what you need to say. It's much better to have someone doing that for you, and you can go on doing your job as a professional person. And I like that ability to just turn that over to a union person.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having to worry about it every year, now it only comes up every 3 years, and you have somebody who's an expert at negotiations.
Well,
has training in it.
Well, that's like you have.
I have training in my area. They have training in theirs, and they represent you. And for the small amount that you have to pay, it's worth it.
Wow.
And you can get help in a lot of different ways.
I don't think this is fair, but it says that 10 of the ugliest celebrities. Melanie Griffith.
Well, what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
I don't know. I just thought
think we need to do that right now. We only have like 3 minutes, so let's go back.
I just thought that was interesting.
Let's just go back to something else.
Janice Dickinson. Rated as homely. Yeah. I don't know why. He was on the union blog.
I don't know why it was.
Oh, it's not Alphabet.
Alphabet.
That's why.
Maybe you have a chance to do one more article.
Yeah.
Working families rally to oppose cuts to Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. More than 1,500 people rallied Tuesday on Capitol Hill in support of working families to tell Congress not to make any benefit cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. They also told Congress to close tax loopholes for big corporations and the wealthiest 2%, and to prevent the sequester from going into effect and harming the country. Throughout the rally, working families spoke with a unified voice calling for jobs, not cuts. I didn't even know there was a rally going on. A little more to it. AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka said the sequester was nothing more than a scare tactic. The opponents of working people are always coming up with technical terms to scare good people into accepting bad ideas like sequestration. Let me tell you something. Sequestration is nothing but a word, nothing but a long word with a simple purpose, and that's to hide a bad idea that we can cut our way to a prosperous future.
Now, what bothered me, according to the recent arguments, is that that Obama wanted the sequestration, all right, in order to force their hand to do something.
Well, I guess we need to have some explanation of
that. Yeah. The opponents of working people are always coming up with technical terms to scare good people into accepting bad ideas. Yeah. You just read that all.
Yes. The American people are tired of downgrading the American dream, remembering that old phrase that a rising tide lifts all boats. John F. Kennedy said that back in 1960, and it's true. And the opposite is true, too. An outgoing tide leaves everybody high and dry. Lee Sanders, president of AFSCME, called for specific policies that would help Americans. Our nation can only get stronger through investment. We don't need additional cuts to vital programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. We must get people back to work. We need jobs, good jobs that will take care of the families. We need good jobs that will support neighbors and communities. We need good jobs that will grow our economy. We can only fix our broken economy by building up, not cutting back. AFG President John J.D. Cox warned that sequestration proponents are going after government workers, the Hill reported, Cox says. They want to see our red. They want to see us bleed. They just want to kill us. Death by thousand cuts, brothers and sisters. I'm not interested in going that way. We have to end this sequestration madness right now.
Okay. But we want, you know, if you can go. Everybody, we just run out of time now, but everybody can go to AFL-CIO Now blog, all right? And you can check out all these great articles that they have and keep up to date on all the union issues.
I want to thank you for being with us tonight to listen to some of our union issues, and we need to keep up with that.
Sure.
It's important.
And
thanks for listening.
And we want to thank AFSCME Union, too, for being our
supporter.
Friends and supporters there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a great union.
Great union. Good night, everybody. And thanks for being with us.
Good night, folks. Have a good night.